Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome this evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we enter into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit come forward, Father, open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can learn the right way, Father, to miss your word and the truth, and the power and strength of it so that we can gain, Father, the knowledge and wisdom so that we can be able to help others, and especially those that are walking in darkness, while sharing your word with them. Now, Father, be with us throughout the sake of this evening. And, Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now. If you're ready for communion, get your bread. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eat your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. All right. We thank God for being able to be faithful here with communion and the things of Almighty God to keep us in remembrance always of the Lord and Savior. Now, we're going to be going into the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. Now, all right. Beginning here with verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? 4. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge you are least esteemed in the church." Now, as we take a look at this, we find that this term "use unjust" and "saints" are generic, referring to unbelievers in general as opposed to believers as a group. How incredible that the just should be or should go before unjust or justice. Now, the saints shall judge the world. Think about that. In Revelation, you can find it there again. And it tells us that we shall judge angels even. Now, and also, he's talking about those that we set to judge. Set them to judge who are least esteemed. Now, this may be taken either as imperative or interactive. If it is the former, Paul is being sarcastic, that you are going to go to a civil court, you might just as well appoint your least qualified members as jurors. If it is a question, it is emphatic. And are you setting them to judge who are least esteemed? The heathen in the church. This would elicit expressions of shock and suffice that they were doing such a thing. The latter seems more in keeping with the context. And you know, this was what was going on in the Corinthian church. They was using those that had the least knowledge and were actually considered the least in the church to put over these kind of matters and things. But you know, when you come right down to it, we are not to take our brothers and sisters to court to start with. No, not especially to a civil court. We need to go and talk with them and see if we cannot get things straight between us. If there's something between us and the brother, go to that brother and talk to him and see if we cannot get things straight between us. Now, if after we talk to him and we still can't get things straight, then we need to take two brothers with us and talk to him again. And if he still does not listen, then bring him before the church and let the church then judge. Because you see, if he will not listen to the church then, we are told to excommunicate that one. In other words, they're not to be a part of that church in the middle. Now, you see, they are reasons, things, for not allowing people to be members of your church. Now, and in the day and time in which we are living right now, they are a lot of reasons why we don't need to be just letting anyone become a member of our church. We need to know about them and if they are believers and true believers. Now, we are to invite those that are unbelievers to the church to hear the gospel, yes, but not to use them in the church as members until they get their life straight. Then once they do that, then they can become members and be used in the church. We have too many today that are out here in the world claiming to be children of God that are not. And they are not living the right kind of lifestyle. We have them in our churches and wanting to be members, where a man and woman is living together and they are not married. Think about that. Because you see what has happened. They are living in fornication. And fornication will keep them out of heaven. And God's not going to work through them either. Now, and they don't have the knowledge of God's word, not rightly. We have those out there that are pastoring our churches today that have two and three living wives. They're living in adultery. We'll be getting into that subject not too much further down the line. In fact, we will be dealing with some of it through the next two chapters. Now, then, we had those in our offices, government offices and things, that had it passed that homosexuality is just an alternate lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's an abomination unto God, according to his word. You'll find that back in the Old Testament. And also, we'll be getting into it later in the New Testament. Then, and we have a lot of churches that has accepted these things. Then we have where they had it passed in a lot of states that abortion is a woman's choice. No, it's not her choice to kill her unborn baby. To do that is murder. Only God has the right to take a life. Now, but it's been accepted. Like I say, in a lot of our churches. Think about this. Now, as we go on here, in verse 5, Paul is speaking. He says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brother. Now, 6. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You see, we're not to do that. We're being told that here in the word of Almighty God. 7. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you broke the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? be seen. He's letting us know that we need to be willing to take wrong rather than go to court with the unbelievers. And to take that wrong and to set ourselves to be defrauded. There again, see, we're not to take those into the civil courts. We need to be rather able to accept what has happened, to love that person, pray for that person. We don't love what they've done, because that's wrong. So we need to pray for them that they will go to the Lord Jesus Christ and get their lives straightened out. Now, 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. You see, when we take a brother into court, we're wrong. We're doing the wrong thing. And the world today is full of that. Somebody does something to us, and the first thing we think about, I'll just sue you. No. You see, that's not right. According to the word of Almighty God. Now 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, all. We were talking about them just a few minutes earlier. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the word is telling you, those are not going to make it into heaven unless they go to the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill that plan of salvation that has been handed down to you and I in the second chapter of Acts. We're told what to do there. Because you see, on the day of Pentecost, there in that upper room, they was all praying there. When the Holy Spirit was sent back to dwell and be with mankind, to help mankind out. That same spirit that was in Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. That's why he went back to heaven. He went back to heaven to send the Holy Spirit back to you and I. To give us everything we need in order to be that child of the living God. Now, 11, and such were some of you, that ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, that ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of Almighty God. You see, once we begin to walk in the Word, and we start gaining our strength and gaining in knowledge and receiving these within our life, then we have the power to do whatever God will call upon you and I to do and to complete. Now, pardon me just a moment. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, you see, Paul is letting them know that his principles may be summarized in three words: lawful, expedient, and power. And the first is the principle of liberty. When Paul says all things, we cannot take this as an absolute sense, obviously. What God forbids can never be allowed. Rather, it refers to those things about which the scriptures are not explicit. Such matters are left to the Christian's own judgment. And the apostle is careful not to weaken the important doctrine of Christian liberty by leading these people back under judicial legalism. Rather, his intent is to circumscribe its application through proper restriction. These are expressed in the principle of expediency. Not everything is beneficial. A second restoration is expressed in the word, I will not be brought under the power of any. And this is the principle of self-control, because we are to have self-control. And the only way we can do that and control this flesh is by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We within ourselves cannot control. That's why we went as long as we did, living with that old man sin, that sinful nature, because we could not control this flesh until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go to him and repent, and he forgives us. And then we are baptized in his name. We're buried with him. We put on his death, his burial, and his resurrection through baptism. And then we get into his word. And at the moment that you and I can accept the truth from Almighty God, we are then baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, it's hard this day and time to get mankind to understand these things, because they are out for selfish reasons, and they'll use every excuse they can find to stay out of the Bible studies, stay away from church, and go their own ways. But one day they're going to step out of this life and into the next and stand before him, and they're going to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And they're going to split hell wide open. And yet that's not their last stop. And that is full of misery and pain. But their last stop will be at the end of Christ's millennial reign here on this earth. There'll be the great white throne judgment. And hell and all that's in it will be cast into that lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the scripture says, that worm will never die. Think about it. At that point, in God's eyes, you become as a worm. But you will never die. You will live throughout eternity with that kind of pain and torment. Is that what you really want for yourself and your life and for your family and your friends? I don't. No, I don't. Now, verse 13, meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You see, we are to work for him. We are to live in him, work for him, walk with him, and he will live in us. And he tells us this. And when he comes to live in us, he's also bringing the Father. And we already have the Holy Spirit living within if we are the born-again child of the living God. Think about these things. Now, 14. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Yeah, not nobody else's. 15. Know ye not that your body are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Or bed? So we need to watch how we walk. We must be walking according to this word and walking in obedience unto what God will reveal to us. 16. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. Got to be careful what you're doing. Now, 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Think about it. Now, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. In the last verse, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we were bought with a very, very high price. He took a scourging, a beating. what was later called the cat of nine tails, which is nine straps fastened to a handle. Leather straps that was embedded with metal glass to cut and tear the flesh. And he was given 39 licks with that. He was hardly even recognizable. He took them and then was taken and nailed to a cross that took 6 hours for him to give up, as the word puts it, the ghost, or in other words, to die. Then he was resurrected, walked on this earth 40 days, teaching his disciples everything they needed and giving them everything they needed in order to establish this church age that we now live in. And that now those of mankind in this land where we are living is rejecting him. You say, oh, no, no. We've got a lot of churches out, and they're being closed all the time. And they won't even let anyone else, when a church closes, they will not let anyone else even reopen that church. They're doing other things with it. I know when it was closed, and they use it now for meetings with their friends and all to party. And I'm not talking about a godly party here. Now, you see, if we have a denomination right now that is known over most of the whole world. And in the last few years, they have lost half of their churches. Half. Think about that. That means they've lost hundreds and maybe even thousands. Because without being in close contact with them, we don't know how many they had, but we do know they're everywhere. And they have lost half of theirs. Now, what about these other denominations out there? We're not hearing because, one, your media really don't want you to hear. They don't want you to know anything that is going on really today. You know, now, there's a lot of things we need to learn yet. And it's all in God's word. And I pray that you all would join with me as we continue on through the New Testament so that you can learn more and more of the Word of Almighty God and how to walk in this life so you can make heaven your home. Because if you go there, not really, even though you're ignorant and didn't know what to do, you still are not going to be able to make it in. We have now come to the end of chapter 6. We're going to be stopping here for the evening. And I pray that God will keep us all through the night. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. and bring us together in the morning. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace. And I pray, Father, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that has had so much evil, Father, upon it. By those who are sitting in high places, I pray that, Father, they'll be removed from their office and replaced with those that belong to you, to love you, love the Lord, love the church, your people, and this land. Father, I pray that they work with us to put this land back upon the foundation, and our covenant on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, those who are in my heart, I now come to pray for them. City powers, let us speak. Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby, Millie Johnson, my wife, Father, Sue Branson, Daryl and Debbie, Courtney and Shane, James Taylor, Ellie Stone, Father, I pray that you keep us all through this night in health and safety, and bring us together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word, so that we can learn and walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name, Father, I pray. Amen. All right. I pray that you'll have a great night. And pray for me. I've got a lot of swing like stuff. I'm not in any pain. It bothers my speaking, which I know you heard. All right. Have a good night, and I pray that somebody will be with me in the morning. Have a good one.